This is On Target St. John's, a look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I trust you had as good a weekend as can be expected. It was quite an eventful one, as we all know. There was a number of tragedies that played out across the province, but people starting to venture out, if you will, get used to being out and about. And one of the things that the City of St. John's did on Friday was they officially closed Water Street to traffic on Friday for the remainder of the summer, at least during the regular daylight hours, and they opened the downtown core into a pedestrian mall. And there's a lot of people who have been applauding that move, but here to talk a little bit more about how it went down is Gaylin Lambert of Downtown St. John's. Hello, Gaylin.
Hi, how are you, Linda?
Great. So how'd it go on the weekend?
Well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here with you and your listeners today. And secondly, it went great. It really went great. I mean, it wasn't the perfect weekend to open. Certainly when we cut the ribbon on the street on Friday, it was a little cool and it was drizzly. But immediately, as soon as we cut the ribbon, people started showing up. And, you know, it was a bit sparse Friday afternoon. But by the time Friday evening came, when families and people got off work, you know, there was quite a few people. There was lots of people down there on Saturday and even yesterday. So, you know, we're really pleased with how it's working out so far. And the best part about it was in a socially distant manner, too. People seemed to be respecting the rules. Patios were full, and they had their social distancing measures and stuff in place. So, so far, so good.
Well, it was, I don't know, heartening to see people on rollerblades and skateboards and all those kinds of things out and about on the street. It really was harkened back to a previous time or something.
It certainly created an energy and a vibe that we often see created downtown by a lot of the other events that we as an organization, Downtown St. John's, organize. For example, our outdoor movies created a special atmosphere and vibe at the Busker Festival that brings 20,000 to 30,000 people downtown over the weekend. And because we couldn't have those events, this is a perfect outlet. I mean, people who don't do the traditional summer things, various festivals, be it in St. John's or other locations across the province, those things are all canceled now. So there's nowhere for people to really go to, you know, see and be seen. And this pedestrian mall is an awesome opportunity for that. It's a great place, you know, to go people watching. It's a great place to get some exercise, like you alluded to there, on bicycles and rollerblades and so on and so forth. And it's a great place to come down and do a bit of shopping and have a bite to eat. And, you know, it was obvious this weekend that people really did enjoy it.
Do you think this is part of a growing movement towards more pedestrian-friendly kind of, you know, solutions to things?
You know what? It may be, Linda. And there's a lot. It's really hard to determine, yes, exactly the root cause behind this because, you know, we have extenuating circumstances. For example, I mean, we have COVID restrictions. So, you know, people are limited in what they can do. And so, therefore, they're participating in the things that are available. So it's really hard to judge yet if this is because of COVID, you know, the people are getting out and enjoying this pedestrian type stuff, or if it's, you know, if it's an actual change, if it's a paradigm switch, you know what I mean? And we have been blessed. People may argue with me, but we have been blessed with fine weather, too. I mean, we've had a good spring, better than most, and June was pretty good, and like a bit of a bumpy start there in July, late last week. I mean, we've had great weather. So there's a lot of factors here at play, but one thing that is for sure is that people enjoy this downtown pedestrian mall, at least for now.
Gaylin Lambert of Downtown St. John's is my guest on Target St. John's today. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And my guest today is Gaylin Lambert of Downtown St. John's. We're talking about the opening of the pedestrian mall, but we're talking about Downtown St. John's as a whole. And I'll ask you this because you did allude to it earlier, Galen, is why haven't we thought about this before?
Well, it actually was thought about before. I mean, there was a pilot project that happened in 1969, and I think a lot of the listeners out there may have seen that picture of that mall that was going around on social media. But what a lot of people never saw probably was the report that came after that said, well, it looked great and all that sort of stuff, it really never boosted sales of businesses. Matter of fact, at the time, it reduced sales. So people went down and walked around, but it didn't transfer into people buying stuff. And over many years, well, the idea came up again, but it wasn't something that a lot of people had an appetite for. And even up to last year, it really wasn't, because there was a group who were interested in holding an event on a Saturday, and we went out and polled our members. And our members are wide and varied, too, and it's very different, and people have different needs. I think that's one thing you have to understand. We have everything from oil companies to small law firms, other business offices, dentists, you know, retail, industrial, and there's, of course, restaurants and stuff too, right? So we polled our members last year, and, you know, they still weren't willing to close the street, basically, you know, for events, because weekends and Saturdays had traditionally been where downtown makes its bread and butter. So you can't blame people. And plus, people who are operating other businesses down there, you know, it was a whole pile of logistical issues. What happened now is that the world switched. It changed in an instant. And, you know, what is possible, you know, now that wasn't considered before, that is now a necessity, you know, has come to fruition. So, you know, this was basically born again out of a desire and a need to have a capacity and social distancing measures addressed, you know, within various restaurants and for the public in general, of course. And when, of course, this picture surfaced on social media, the public support behind it, of course, alleviated fears, I'm sure, of a lot of businesses that people would support it and not get caught up in the fact that we were losing some parking and so on and so forth. So the timing and the climate and, you know, was right for us to, you know, for the city to try it again, of course, and the city came to us looking for our assistance to make it happen as well.
So did it work out for the restaurants? Did they that capacity increased?
If you walk, walk of the street down there, you're going to notice that there is some absolutely amazing decks and patios that are built down there, and they look lovely, and it creates a real good vibe and energy downtown, and the decks and the patios were full. And I mean full in a good way, and I don't mean full as in an overcapacity or a non-social distancing way. I mean, people were out there, and they were actually using it. So, you know, it was great to see. It really was. And hopefully it'll help, because businesses have had a hard time. I mean, all businesses downtown, most of what's down there is independently owned and operated. We have very few, you know, chain stores or, you know, not just stores, but any other kind of businesses. And so this is, people needed it. I mean, after a rough winter with snowmageddon and terrible snowfall on top of it, and then this pandemic, it certainly hasn't been easy. So it's nice to see downtown business getting, you know, a little boost.
Will you consider doing this again going forward, perhaps when, you know, the tourism season is better than what it is this year?
Well, maybe that's just it, too. I mean, we don't even have any tourists and people are down there. But you know what? It's our downtown. It's actually the provincial downtown. We're the capital city. And, you know, it should also be things there for locals, too, because we only have tourists 2 months, 3 months of the year. You know, we do have some on shoulder seasons, but the majority we're having here in the summer. So downtown really needs to be, for the most part, you know, something for locals. And if locals find it fun and find it a great place to be, you know, tourists will follow. But back to your question about for other years, well, I guess we should start with how it started. When the city approached us about this concept of a pedestrian mall, we said, okay, well, you know, we represent, you know, over 500 members, and we said, well, you know, we have to go to our members. So whatever the outcome is, that will be what we will support. So we went to our members and did a survey. That results were backed up, of course, by MQO, and that allowed us to have, you know, great statistical results. And 80% of downtown businesses from all different industries and sectors of our downtown economy agreed to some form of pedestrian mall. Now, some people only wanted it at weekends. Some people wanted to see it on both Water Street and Ducker Street. But overall, what came back was 80% of the people supported it as a pilot project. And that's what I'm getting to. It is a pilot project. So what will happen is, one, this is all over. I'm assuming, we'll talk with our members again and we'll see how they found it, how it went for them. Is it something they would consider doing again? How can we improve it? Should it be 7 days a week? Should it be weekends? Should we start earlier? Should it go later in the year? So all these questions remain to be seen. But the one thing that is for sure is that if people would like to see it return another year, then they have to come down this year and support it, because businesses need your help. And if people don't come, then the whole concept fails. And, we're going to go back to cars going up and down the street, and we're going to reinstate the parking and all that sort of stuff. So people actually have to come down and use it. So if you want to see it next year, support it this year so that, all our downtown businesses can do well from the spinoff from it. And, potential could be there to have it again, next year. So, the jury is out on this. We have to wait and see. As I said, the key word here is pilot project.
Are businesses extending their hours to accommodate this pedestrian opening?
I'm sure some are. Downtown businesses are traditionally open on Thursday nights. That's the most. I'm talking retail shops and stuff. Restaurants and stuff are opened most evenings, and of course maybe a little bit later on the weekends. But downtown is a little bit different because we're not like the Avalon Mall, and there's not an all set of hours. I mean, there's all independently owned and operated businesses down there. So they have set their own hours and ways of operating because it suits them and their business and how they can run it and what they can afford and staffing and all that. So I'm sure some will extend and adjust for it, but I mean, it's also going to be based on their resources as well. I mean, a lot of these places are mom and pop shops, so are they going to stay open? Do they have the ability right now to pay extra staff and all that sort of stuff? So that remains to be seen. If you go on our website at Downtown St. John's, there's a list there that we have of, businesses that were operating during the pandemic that can still continue to operate. And we've switched that over now to what businesses are doing. So whether the doors are open, these are the days and the hours that they're open. And, you can still get curbside delivery, or you can still order online or whatever. So the best thing for people to do is to head to that website, look for your favorite business, or just simply Google them and give them a call and see what their hours are to make sure before you come down. Because although we do try to keep the most up to date that we have, when you're managing such an extensive group of members, I mean, that need to change things on the fly because they need to be able to react to what's going on. It may be slightly different, but I'm sure, especially as the summer goes on, you will see maybe people might open up more nights of the week. But I guess, like I said, that remains to be seen. We're in the very early stages right now.
I know some businesses expressed some hesitancy, not the least of which was surrounding our weather. We have no control over that, as we all know. I had to cover my plants again the other night to ward against the frost. Sorry. Even though, as you indicated, we've had a fabulous summer thus far. It started rather early, and it's been pretty good. Through June month was fabulous. So there's really no predicting which way our weather's going to go. If we get another one of those miserable old summers where you never see the sun and it's rain and drizzle and just awful, certainly a pedestrian mall concept probably wouldn't be very successful.
Well, and that's true. I mean, when you do look at our weather, even though, we're all used to it, we all try to put on a brave face and make the best of it. Some things are more enjoyable to do on a nice day. And there's a 33% chance of rain every day in July, according to historical weather records, because we looked at them. And it is. So, it certainly was. I mean, this pedestrian mall concept, you had, as much as people were passionate about it, there were people that weren't and that are very concerned. And certainly, and they're on the other side of it, and certainly their concerns are valid. And it's not that, you know, it's they want to be a stick in the mud or negative, but they have legitimate concerns also about their businesses. And one of them is weather. So, you know, if it's not nice weather and we don't have a good summer, you know, the street will be there empty. You'll be able to shoot a cannon through it, is what some of them feel. And, you know, that could happen. That could very well be possible. I mean, you know, it is outside. You know, other people worried because, you know, there was going to be a lack of parking. But I think, you know, people have to realize that there are parking garages and, you know, we have to start using them. And there was also issues of logistical concerns, like curbside delivery for many of these businesses. Some restaurants and a lot of the retail stores, I mean, feel that this is going to be a wave of the future, at least the near future. Anyway, a lot of people, curbside delivery has really worked out and it's what kept these businesses alive. And when you throw all this into the mix, I mean, it makes it difficult for some people to operate with that pedestrian mile in place. So that's why there has been some degree of dissatisfaction with what's there. It's not that people don't like the idea or the concept, but, you know, a lot of the people who were certainly not really in favor of it because they had concerns, and they're certainly justifiable concerns. You know, they will have to, they're asked to kind of take a big risk, I guess, and, you know, to their business operations. And so, you know, maybe
take a big risk at a really difficult time.
Right. And that was the other point, too. I mean, again, the winter and the pandemic, and it was hard. So they were asked to take a big risk. So you can see that there is both sides of the coin, and both of these sides of the coin are equally passionate. And that's what I mean when I say if people want to see the pedestrian mile come back again and not just be a pilot project, and you do have to get out and you do have to support your local downtown shops and businesses, because if it does impact, you know, their bottom line, they won't be there, and they certainly will be expressing their concerns to the city about their businesses as well. So there's a lot to consider, even to the point where, you know, there's even quite a few Liviers along Water Street in those apartments. And then there's businesses that occupy those large office towers and stuff too that still have to continue to operate. And there's deliveries that have to be made. And, you know, there's a lot of logistical concerns here and a lot of moving parts. But I think if people get out there and support it, and, you know, most businesses do well from it, and we address the concerns of others, you know, I think it could be a good thing going forward.
Galen, I'm trying to visualize this now. I didn't get down this weekend, but our entire family was saying we've got to get this done. So I say this coming weekend now we'll be strolling Water Street. But I'm trying to visualize this now. When you expand your businesses out into the sidewalk or the street for that matter, there's certain things you have to do. Do people have to move this stuff in and out, in and out, in and out every day?
Well, I mean, that was kind of one of the reasons why I believe the city probably decided to go for the 7-day week thing rather than the weekends, because in this survey that we sent out, we had 80% of people, as I indicated, supported the pedestrian mile, 20% supported no form of pedestrian mile, but a larger percent supported weekends. But I think because of the logistics that go around them, if you've seen some of these decks, how elaborate they are, how beautiful that everything looks, the furniture, the decking, the lighting, all these things that are happening, I think that it would probably be quite difficult to be putting this in and out every Thursday night to get it lined up for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, I mean, there's a lot to it, and there's a lot of agency involved in this. I mean, individuals have been dealing with, of course, permits and all that sort of stuff from the city, St. John's. They've been dealing with, you know, the government services, they've been dealing with the NLC. So it's not an easy thing to do, and there will be bumps, and there will be mistakes and hiccups along the way. So I think as long as everybody, you know, understands that, I think we can, you know, continue to move forward in some way. But, you know, time will tell about how many people will be down there weekdays right now, but we're hoping a lot. You know, people still need to take summer holidays, and it is stay home year. So we're hoping you put downtown St. John's in your plans. But, you know, so far the weekends have been, well, the one weekend, I should say, has been a success.
Kaylin Gulliver of downtown St. John's is my guest today on Target St. John's. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. My guest today is Kaylin Gulliver. I think I called you Lambert off the top, but that's a bad habit, isn't it?
That's okay. Oh, listen, I was Lambert for a long time. That's okay.
Well, old dogs, new tricks, as they
yes.
say.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a sucker for reverting back to my default. So sorry about that, Kaylin. Kaylin Gulliver,
okay.
Of course.
Well, the same person. What, you know, rose by any other name, we'll say.
There you go. You were mentioned Liviers earlier, and I know there's a growing movement to get more residents into the downtown to help revive the area and really get it moving and shaking, so to speak, because if it's just an area where people go to shop and then leave, that doesn't really add to the vibrancy. The vibrancy is added by the residents. How are we doing when it comes to attracting more Liviers into the downtown?
Well, you know, we've had a couple of nice developments that happened residentially-wise, of course, over the last few years, and that's the mixed development up on Duckworth Street. They were originally supposed to be condos, but now they're apartments, which is a great thing. And also the development on Henry Street, the old Star of the Sea there. So, I mean, you know, developers are doing whatever it is that they, you know, that they can. And you know, of course, it's based on the market as well, which is, you know, a little bit in flux. We're lucky in the way, you know, yes, we always need more people living downtown, but we're lucky in the way that we do have a significant population in what we call the Liviers area, which is the area above Duckworth Street, because as an organization, downtown St. John's is completely focused on the commercial downtown core. But supporting that core is also a lot of Liviers in the Liviers area, so which is highly populated. So we're really lucky to have that. But yes, you're right. The more Liviers that we have, the higher the density, the more developments that we have in the surrounding area, surrounding the downtown core, certainly helps, because those are the ones that are going to utilize the services that are in the downtown. There's some businesses that like to be there anyway because of their proximity to the courts or, you know, the harbor or whatever because of their line of business. But there's, you know, some businesses that even if there was more people living downtown, that would certainly also relocate. It's all about density and it's all about the population. And more people that use downtown and more people that live downtown, you know, the more successful it is. And, you know, people might wonder, why is downtown so important? But because downtown is the heart and soul of the city. It's who we are. It's our identity. It's where the new world started. You know, it's you know, we're shopping in a new world status, basically. These were the two oldest streets in North America. And, you know, it kind of defines us. I mean, we're kind of an infamous city and an infamous couple of streets. And it's important. It's part of our culture. It's part of who we are as our identity. And on top of that, it's a real economic engine. I mean, a lot of business and property taxes come out of downtown. So, if, you know, that starts to clear out due to more urban sprawl and, you know, and or poor economy, so on and so forth, the less taxes that will come out of it. I mean, it's got the highest amount of entrepreneurs anywhere else in the province. So, you know, the brain capacity, it's the creative center. You know, there's more artists living in the A1C postal code, which is our downtown postal code, per capita than anywhere in Canada. So the downtown is really important. It's important financially and economically, and it's important culturally, because all these aspects are, you know, linked, and they make us who we are.
How are we doing in providing a wide range of services and business opportunities and recreational opportunities, if you will, in the downtown to attract all, you know, types of people and interests?
Well, prior to this, in terms of recreational opportunities, in terms of physical recreation, this pedestrian mall has gone a long way to be able to provide that, because of our geography, we don't have it like a central square like you would see in a lot of other cities. So Water Street, in essence, has become our central square as a place to hang out, you know, rollerblade, get a bit of exercise, so on and so forth. So the pedestrian mall has kind of, you know, really helped us like that. And You're going to have to repeat the question because I lost my train of thought there, Linda.
Well, what I'm thinking of is, you know, are there any deficiencies when it comes to the offerings that are in the downtown?
Right.
You know, is there anything that you'd like to see more of or less of? Or...
Well, exactly. To be honest with you, we're really lucky in our downtown. As a person who's, you know, been occupied or employed in this occupation for some time, I've gone to many conventions where people of our counterparts, you know, the International Downtown Association, you know, the Canadian Downtown Association, the Atlantic Canadian Downtown Association, and I'm always pleasantly surprised when I come back and look around at the great mix that we have within our downtown. So, I mean, between some places are like office only. They clear out after 4 or 5 o'clock in the day, but we still have a lot of lights and hours. So we are really lucky. We've got a great mix. But maybe if we had some things, you know, we could always use a public library, for example, that, you know, that would be nice. Some of those kind of amenities that would probably, as in your previous question regarding, you know, people living in the downtown, that would go hand in hand and, you know, stuff like that. But we've got a great mix of restaurants. We've got a great mix of shops. We've got wonderful hotels. There's lots of office space. And I think, you know, it's just our whole community is a pretty attractive area in which to, you know, operate a business in.
What kind of an impact, going back to the overall impact of what's been going on lately, has COVID had on the downtown in particular?
Well, it certainly hasn't been easy. As I said earlier, downtown St. John's, it's like the small business capital of our province. There's more small businesses, local small businesses, entrepreneurs located, you know, on those few streets than anywhere else in the province. So if you're a small, independently owned business, you don't have the deep pockets of some of the big box stores and the chain stores and so on and so forth. So you don't have that large bank account to be able to tide you over through, you know, an exceptional year like 2020. So it has been really hard, starting with the pandemic, of course, and then working backwards to Snowmageddon and a really tough winter. It has been extremely hard. What is most amazing, rather than focus on the negative, because everybody knows all about the problems with rent and, you know, money and being difficult to, you know, find staff and, you know, willing to come into work. You know, there's all these problems, but there's silver linings. For example, the creativity that came out of downtown, how people continued to operate their business, reach their customers, provide their products and services and their food to anybody that wanted, was amazing. And their businesses are to be applauded for it. And the other silver lining is it kind of ushered a lot of businesses who may have still been using the fax machine into the digital world and online, and these sites like, you know, getting on some social media presence, you know, right from somebody just taking those first steps right on into like Shopify accounts. And it's working. And the funny thing about it is, and some of the retailers in particular that I have been talking to, they're reaching audiences that they never reached before they went digital. So it has, you know, expanded their client base. That's a silver lining. I'm not saying it's making up for all the difficulties that, you know, people are having and, you know, that people are doing better than they did before the pandemic, because I'm certain that's not true. But, you know, people are surviving and they're making it. And hopefully, God forbid, that we end up with, you know, a second wave or a third wave, then because the businesses have taken these steps and, you know, jumped off the diving board into the digital world, hopefully this will prepare them for any other future shutdowns that we may or may not have. So it's, you know, their challenges have been great, certainly have been great, but their resilience is astounding. And I think that I would like, on their behalf, to thank everybody who has certainly supported downtown, because I think if business owners had the ears of the public right now, they certainly would thank them for their support and thank them for just, you know, for more than just coming down to the pedestrian mall over the weekend, but for all that support and the new focus on, you know, supporting local that has come about because of the pandemic. I mean, it's been amazing. So thank you to all out there who continue to shop, eat, and conduct business in downtown St. John's, because it's really appreciated. And your money is staying within our own local economy. And the people that you're supporting are the same people that are supporting your kids' teams and that are supporting your fundraiser for your friend that's going through a cancer treatment or whatever. These are the businesses that are supporting you, and they really appreciate your support back.
Galen Gulliver of Downtown St. John's is my guest today on Target St. John's. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. Galen Gulliver of Downtown St. John's is my guest today. We've been talking about the pedestrian mall, but the downtown as a whole, and I know there have been challenges that have been faced by the downtown in recent years. It's an ongoing issue, but what other changes could benefit the downtown, Galen? Anything else that you're looking at?
Well, hopefully, it's kind of hard to say in a world that you don't really know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? This pandemic has created a level of uncertainty where planning is difficult. But hopefully, we are thinking that through this pedestrian mall, if it continues into the future, that we'll be able to host a lot more events downtown when we get back to doing that. So, I mean, that's something that's in the plan. We'd like, you know, if we're going to have the street closed, we'd like to be able to have events, like bring our Busker Festival out to the street. Maybe we'll have sports tournaments like those, you know, play again hockey tournaments or play on hockey tournaments and stuff like that. So that's the thing we're looking towards is the future when, you know, regulations, you know, drop regarding events, you know, to be able to create that vibrancy in the downtown. Because I think that it's almost like that movie with Kevin Costner called The Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. So I think that if, you know, we're able to use this pedestrian mall and some other resources that we have in downtown, you know, to be able to make these eventive spaces for people to come, that they will come. And then if the people are there, then, you know, the businesses will thrive and so on and so forth. So it's more of a continuation on the pedestrian mall type stuff. And it's also some beautification. Like at Downtown St. John's, you know, one of the things that we focus on is beautification. So we're hoping, and we have had a commitment from the City of St. John's, and we committed as well this year, of course, was lighting. But because of the snowmageddon and because of the pandemic right now and budgetary concerns, this project is put off until next year, and we're going to get all new lighting in the downtown. So, you know, you want to make things safe, you want to make things beautiful, and then people can come. So we want to focus on those sorts of projects like lighting, you know, like, you know, more flower pots, you know, banners. Like, you know, these are the things that we already do, but we know it needs to be enhanced to do more. We'd like to see a few more green spaces developed downtown. A few years back, we had a study that we did with the Grand Concourse Authority that identified many, many potential spots. Some belong to the city and some belong to private individuals that could be converted to green spaces. We did a few of them a few years back, Constabulary Court, Angel's Corner, there on the corner of Prescott Street and Duckworth, and another one up on Duckworth Street, and, you know, those sorts of things. So more beautification. I mean, it's like inviting someone to a party. You know, you want to make your house look nice first and kind of then invite them down. This organization went through exactly that in the 1990s when we put in the decorative sidewalks and the poles and fixed up George Street back in the day and all that sort of stuff, and it was successful. And now that, you know, that the useful life has kind of come to an end with that, and we're seeing, you know, a refurbishment of Water Street and bump outs and all these beautification projects that the city is doing and the stuff that we have on the books together as joint projects such as the lighting. And I think when you see those sorts of improvements and, you know, that type of civic pride, then, you know, people are going to come and follow after that, because, you know, you want to be in a place that's happening. And, you know, Downtown St. John's, despite everything, certainly is a place to be.
So what sort of things do draw people to the downtown? What is it that they tell you or your members brings them out?
You know, first of all, it's a sense of community, because you don't feel that same sense of community when you go shopping in many other places. I mean, this is a real sense of community. It's almost like, who are the people in your neighborhood? It's like coming into a giant neighborhood. So there's a real feeling of belonging. And, you know, the shops and the restaurants and the things that are down there, the product is often better because the owner is there. So that attracts and brings people down. The product knowledge, the service, and the level and the originality and the uniqueness of it. We have actual beautiful physical geography. I mean, every day, I mean, where else can you come down and look at a beautiful bowl-shaped granite harbor, you know, overlooked by a castle? So we have that. We have that beautiful geography. We have the history, and we have the culture. I mean, like as I said, we have artists. You know, fantastic. You know, musicians, and it all works together to create the community. And when someone asks me to describe downtown in the word, like it's the only thing that comes to my mind is community that we have, and it's special. And it's and in surveys that we've done, that has been the indication we've gotten was customer usage and attitude study of downtown. And people look at it as if it's a special place to go. It's a special destination. It's your it's a celebration destination, whether that's, you know, a wedding and a special time in your life, an event, an anniversary, a Mother's Day, or whether it's just a simple event as you're taking your family downtown for a walk on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. It's a destination, and it's a special place to go, and that comes back again to the sense of community I think that you feel when you go down there.
What about Duckworth Street? There's been some questions raised as to why this pedestrian mall was limited to Water Street for the time being. Are there any plans to include Duckworth Street, or was that considered?
Well, it was, Linda, to be honest. It really was considered in that survey we discussed at the top of the hour when we first got into this interview, how Downtown St. John's sent it out, there was other questions that were on that on behalf of the city, and one of them was, where do you want to see the pedestrian mall? And overwhelmingly, businesses said on Water Street, although we did have some businesses, particularly restaurants, who wanted to be involved. And it was unfortunate. And you can never please anybody. And that's not any comfort, certainly, for anybody who feels that they're at a disadvantage because they're outside the pedestrian mall. But what I will say is, once again, this is a pilot project. And perhaps when people see the success of it on Water Street, perhaps it'll be included in some form on Duckworth Street. However, having said that, that doesn't mean that they can't still participate and come outside with their wares, because last year the City of St. John's passed this legislation allowing businesses to come out and build decks in the parking stalls or to, you know, occupy a section of the sidewalk in front of their establishment, as long as they left enough space, of course, for I think it's 36 inches for someone to get by. So they can still build a deck and be a part of that. You know, there's a couple of restaurants right now up on Duckworth Street currently doing that. So they still have, and that, of course, these decks, as long as they're within correct size specifications, can stay from the time the snow melts till the time the snow flies. So it doesn't have to be something, you know, that's only under pedestrian mall circumstances. So other businesses who are interested in, you know, participating in some way, who are outside the district of the pedestrian mall, can certainly give our office a call, and we can or reach out to us on social media, drop us a message or whatever, and we can certainly put you in the right department with the City of St. John's that you would need to make an application in order to participate. It's unfortunate, I know, but you know, hopefully, you know, as I said, it's a pilot project, and maybe things will be tweaked next year, and we'll figure out a way that it can be included. Of course, this is all based upon feedback from our members, so, you know, they're going to really drive the bus on what happens here.
Kaylin Gulliver, we're out of time, but I do appreciate you taking the time with us. Hopefully this continues on and is successful for the businesses involved. I do appreciate your time. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Linda. And perhaps maybe in September, at the end of the summer, when we have an idea of how it all worked out, we can talk again.
Excellent. We'll make sure we plan that. Kaylin Gulliver, my guest for today on Target St. John's. Our show tomorrow, very interesting indeed. I would encourage you to tune in. It should be a lively conversation, but I won't offer any hints just yet. Stay tuned for that, and thanks for listening.